Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:42 British Summer Time. Today is August 5th. Today being Friday, it's the big picture long-term audio for the various different asset classes. First, let's have a review of what has been a rather climactic week. This week, we saw the majority of stock markets down on consecutive days in Europe and in the USA. By today's close, the majority of markets had In well, US markets had erased their gains for 2010. In Europe, the selling was much more concerted. The DAX for the year is down 9.8%. That's probably the best of the European indices. The Italian index is down over 20%. That is an indication of exactly where the problems lie. And they lie primarily in the peripheral region of Europe, and I would define the periphery of Europe as the countries that have lost competitiveness compared to the core countries, which are led by Germany. This is a made in Europe problem. So the focus of the selling pressure has been in Europe, but we've had contagion everywhere else. This week saw concerted selling right across asset classes, from just about all stock markets. The Dow Jones finished out the week marginally in positive territory. The S&P fell to 1,200 points and has paused there in here today. It finished out the day today almost unchanged, having rallied well off its lows. The Nasdaq 100 fell from 2,300 on Monday to 2,200. And actually less than that in here at the close. So these have been aggressive falls. Technical damage has been done. Type 3 tops have been completed in a large number of markets. And that suggests that our worst case scenario is coming to fruition, which was a sharp, sharp bear market. The short part of that prediction remains to be seen. What we're seeing in some of these stock markets today was a bit of a rally taking place on Wall Street towards the close. The bears will be looking at that and saying that it is some book squaring as we approach the end of what has been a tumultuous week. Bulls will be saying that this has been an incredibly sharp decline. We've seen that so many stock markets have become remarkably overextended on the downside. They're very oversold in the very short term, and the potential for at least a relief rally has increased. And they're probably both correct. Such has been the extent of the technical damage that has been done that the chances of for example, the S&P getting back up towards its recent peak in the short to medium term are relatively slim. This is bear market type activity, and in a bear market, we can see that markets become overextended on the downside, and they can stay overextended. Fear is a much more immediate emotion than greed, and the pressure that the kind of falls that have been taking place put on investors sends them to the exit signs in pretty sharp order. The selling pressure wasn't confined to stock markets this week. In the commodity markets, oil fell approximately $10 on the or closer to $15 on the Brent crude price, but has rallied in here in the latter half of the trading day today. So far, Brent crude has completed a reversion towards the mean. It has been too high for too long. The fact that oil has been above the $100 level on Brent crude for almost as long as it was in 2008 is a headwind to the global economy. We continue to see that expectations for corporate earnings are extraordinarily high, and they're unlikely to come in at such high levels in the next quarters when we've had the types of pressures that have been put on the European economies and indeed on in the USA today's non-farm payroll number was encouraging. There has been a lot of speculation that the USA was going to head into another recession. That would be testing the yield curve. We, coincidentally, both David and I wrote about the yield curve on the same day this week. But monetary policy remains extraordinarily accommodative in the USA. The spread between the 10-year and the 2-year has been a reliable lead indicator for recessions in the USA for at least the last 30 years. For it to become a lead indicator of a recession, it needs to become inverted. And on the chart that we've displayed this week, it would need to go below zero. It's currently closer to 300 basis points. That's comparable to the highest levels that it's been at in the last 30 years. So monetary policy is remarkably accommodative. The Fed isn't about to start raising interest rates. They're much more worried about deflationary pressures than inflationary pressures. And in fact, they are deliberately pursuing inflationary pressures to avert deflation here, in Ben Bernanke's words. So the chances of the USA slipping into recession are, I think, less than 50-50. I think that the chances are that the stagflationary environment, which we've been predicting for quite some time, will remain in place. Commodity prices have pulled back this week. Silver, having been relatively strong early in the week, was down another dollar in here today. It was down almost $2 yesterday. It's down to 38.41. Both platinum and palladium have also pulled back. Those metals are currently being valued for their industrial uses. Copper was down 11 today. It was also weak yesterday. It's still above the $4 area. So while this has been negative chart action, it is still at a historically high region for the copper price. Nickel was down by $1,145, in fact. A number of the other industrial metals have been falling aggressively this week. A number of the soft commodities were also weaker in here today. There was one week, the lumber price has broken down and broken its 6-month progression of higher reaction lows. But elsewhere, today was a day where we started to see at least some book squaring, potentially the beginning of what could be considered a relief rally in the coffee market, in the sugar markets. The grain and bean complex was limit up on Wednesday, I think. It was a little bit weaker yesterday and was reasonably flat in here today. The gold price formed a key day reversal yesterday. It hit new highs almost on every day this week, but finished out today. It's currently up $18.17 at 10 to 10 at night, and it's back up to $1,664 on the spot. That's less than $10 away from the all-time high, which was hit yesterday. When we talk about key reversals in the chart seminar, we say that the key to the key is in its size. And yesterday, it was unequivocally a key reversal in that it met all the criteria for that designation, but it wasn't particularly large. And I wrote yesterday that gold would need to follow through today. It didn't do that. And in fact, at $18, it's almost completely countermanded the decline that it put in yesterday. Gold remains a safe haven. And the other safe havens this week were in the treasury markets. US treasuries, gilts, euro bunds, JGBs, the Australian 10-year, the Canadian 10-year, they all rallied emphatically. They exploded higher in the same manner that stock markets fell. Into the close today, the 30-year treasury is down about 1.5 points. Having been as high as 135 intraday, it's closing out the day closer to 132. So although it's down a point and a half, at one point it was up a point and a half. And such has been the massive rally that we've seen that these are overbought in the very short term. A crisis needs to be seen to be getting worse to continue to have a negative impact on pricing. And this crisis could still get worse. So the EFSF deal will put in place a bailout mechanism for Greek bonds. Once it's been applied into law, they'll be able to increase it. And it's a step on the road to producing pan-European bonds. But this is a slow process, and the majority of European politicians are on holiday at the moment. Bringing them back, calling an emergency summit would be a sign of a loss of admission of a real crisis by politicians. So they may still have to do that because the declines that we've seen in stock markets this week, if they were repeated next week, we would be in a full-blown crisis. At the moment, I think there is an air of unreality about the reaction of politicians to what has gone on in stock markets particularly, and also in the government bond markets. The spread on Spanish and Italian bonds has expanded at this point almost to pre-convergence levels, and that's on considerably more debt today than they had back then in 95 and 96. So the ability of Italy and Spain to fund themselves at a reasonable level is being called into question in here, and it's going to require some pretty substantive action. The ECB announced that it was becoming active once more in the secondary market for government bonds, and it's been purchasing Greek and Irish bonds. It hasn't yet purchased Spanish and Italian bonds. It would obviously have to buy a lot more of them since these are considerably larger, more liquid markets. But it is that type of intervention that could help to stem the loss of confidence that has become evident this week. And that is the really big question. At this point, we're seeing that a large number of markets have become oversold. The bears will be saying that this is as it should be because the depth of the crisis is such that markets are mispriced and they need to go lower. But, and that could be correct for a short period of time. The farther we see these spreads on peripheral Eurozone debt expand, the greater the likelihood is that we're going to have some form of intervention. If there was any question as to whether some of these, the EFSF enlargement regulations were not going to be passed by the various member states, these are really brushed aside. This piece of legislation is going to fly through the various legislatures across Europe because it's going to be seen as the only alternative. But it is another step on the road down towards a loss of sovereignty. And that would at this point seem to be an inevitable process. A number of the most troubled markets have already given up a large degree of their sovereignty. I don't believe that there's been very much debate about this in the core of Europe, where there would probably be considerably more resistance to such an outcome. So there is potential for this crisis to continue to deepen. We also know what the potential solution will be whenever it arises. But what we've definitely seen in here today is a little bit of book squaring for some of these stock markets. Whether that turns into a more of a short covering rally remains to be seen. I went through in comment of the day today a number of different scenarios, but back in 2008, what we saw was that markets pulled back, pulled back very sharply. Then they steadied, and they rallied back up, encountered resistance in the region of the 200-day moving average before really deteriorating. And last year, we saw a larger reaction than we've just seen this week, but spread over a somewhat longer period of time. And that potential crisis was averted by the addition of the second round of quantitative easing. So there is potential at this stage that we could have an additional round of quantitative easing. And not only by the USA, but if we are moving increasingly towards an organization within Europe that can issue its own bonds on behalf of the ability of the entire Eurozone region to tax its citizens, then that is also going to amount to a large amount of money printing. So we know what the potential solutions could be. There isn't any evidence yet that politicians are ready to step into the breach, but the potential for such action does exist. So we can anticipate that markets are going to become increasingly more bearish, that the people who have short positions are going to start talking about them, and that sentiment is going to continue to deteriorate. What we'll be looking for as behavioral technical analysts is to see when does the chart action diverge from sentiment, and that is likely to be where we see the bottoming activity. If we take out the 2008 playbook and we take a little bit of a longer term view, every crisis throws up opportunities. I posted a chart yesterday of the spread between the AAA rated composite corporate bonds in Europe versus the euro bonds, and that spread is widening out. And that's reflective of the perception of additional risk in the system. Back in 2007 and 2008, we saw incredible bargains on highly rated corporate bonds. We saw that the master limited partnership and income trust sectors got back to levels that threw up remarkable yields. And if we take a step back and just look at the big picture, people are still going to need water. People are still going to need natural gas to heat their homes and cook their food. And their pipeline companies in the MLP sector in particular had begun to lose consistency at least 6 weeks ago. They were already starting to pull back. They have some remarkably high yields in the high single figures and some into the low double digits. And as those prices pull back, those yields are heading higher. Royal Dutch Shell, which had a yield of 4.6% this time last week, now has a yield of over 5%, and it's another cash-rich company. So this type of crisis is definitely beginning to show up, that some of our favorite sectors are going to be, we're going to get an opportunity in some of these sectors that is going to be really very attractive. When we look at where the engine of global growth is, it's in Asia. That's where the biggest populations are. And for the first time in at least a couple of hundred years, they are motivating their respective populations to become more productive. And they're doing that by offering an Asian version of the American dream. And we've seen that the middle classes in China and India and in the majority of the ASEAN region have increased really quite considerably. Their spending power isn't going to be particularly impacted by the crisis that we're seeing in Europe at present, or the stagflationary environment that is present in the USA. If we see a much deeper version of this crisis, then the contagion that we're now starting to see in the ASEAN region is likely to contribute to a further deterioration in prices. But these are markets that are likely to bounce back considerably faster. So if one has been looking at some of those Asian markets over the last year and more and thought that they were too expensive or that they'd gone too far, well, this is likely to present a favorable buying opportunity for the long term. If there's one fact we know, it's that massive young populations are going to be 10 years older in 10 years' time. India's population is approximately 1 billion, and half of them are under the age of 20. Well, that means that half of them are going to be under the age of 30 in 10 years' time, and they're going to be forming families, moving into their own homes, equipping those homes, and looking for and striving for and working for the standard of living that many of us take for granted. The rise of consumer culture in China and in India is a secular theme. It's what's helping to drive the increased per capita consumption of just about all commodities. This crisis looks increasingly likely that we're going to have cheaper commodities and cheaper oil at some point. And cheap energy and cheap commodities are going to be a precondition for an economic recovery, particularly for the Eurozone area, because that's where the majority of the selling pressure has taken place, and that's where the real problems lie at the present juncture. So we do need to watch the commodity prices. We need to monitor European banks. We because it's the European financial sector which is essentially bankrupt and needs to be bailed out. And we need to watch the European version of the TED spread. The TED spread was a very useful indicator of the perception of risk in the financial sector in 2008. This time around, it's in the Eurozone, so it makes sense to look at the Eurozone's equivalent. And that broke out of a 2-year base this week, and it pushed even higher in here today. The VIX index has also broken out of a 2-year base in here as well. The surge in bund prices and the continuing expansion of peripheral spreads are also well worth monitoring. And I think the Asian dollar index is also worth monitoring, because one of the key benefits of investing in Asia over the last 2 years is that one got the capital appreciation from the stock market advance, but one also got the currency appreciation because those currencies were all rallying at the same time as their stock markets. And that was symptomatic of a massive flood of capital flowing into the region. The Asian dollar index has probably hit a peak of short-term significance, potentially medium-term significance, but it remains within the confines of a consistent medium-term uptrend. It would need to sustain a move below the 200-day moving average to really question that, and that would require a considerable deterioration from where it is right now. Since that's the case, and because the ASEAN region in particular has been among the better performing markets, they have room to pull back and consolidate and still remain within the confines of relatively consistent uptrends. Whereas when one looks at Wall Street and much of Latin America, Brazil, for example, this week pulled back by almost 1,000 points, completing a 2-year type 3 top, which has been looking on the cards for a while now. We've seen that these markets have had significant technical deterioration. This is where the pressure has been most concerted. Commodity currencies did not do well in 2007 and 2008. The Australian dollar has pulled back from 110 to 104. If this selling pressure continues, and if people start to price in a worst case scenario in the Eurozone, then commodity currencies are probably not likely to do particularly well. But the secular theme in the background of all this is the greatest urbanization in history. For the first time, we're seeing the majority of the world's population seeing its living standards increase, its disposable income increase, and its standard of living take massive leaps forward. This crisis is having an impact. It couldn't possibly not have an impact, but those are the markets which are going to provide the really attractive investment opportunities for the long term. And if one is looking for yield, then this is also a crisis where we are going to see some very attractive yield plays come back to attractive levels. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.